Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love, your grace, your mercy that leads us through our days, and ask in Jesus' name that you would, again, just pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, draw us to yourself in this moment and help us to hear your still small voice. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin are a sheet that contains two different things. On one side are sermon notes where you can fill in the blank and follow along that way. On the other side are some weekly devotions, some scripture that you can go through. I really encourage you as we celebrate the Holy Spirit today to go through these scriptures this week because it'll illuminate more the power, the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you're listening online, there's a downloadable PDF file that has both of these documents on us. Has anyone been driving down M59 east toward Oakland recently? Yes, and if you've been driving down toward Highland over the last few months, you will have noticed maybe some changes. At first, they changed M59 from a two-lane to a one lane. And when they did that, they started ripping up the left shoulder and then into the median, eventually preparing the ground for some more asphalt. And in doing what they did, they added a third lane to M59. But in doing so, they pretty much made the Michigan left turn lanes almost all but disappear. But they obviously have a plan. For as soon as this innermost lane was completed, they redirected all of the traffic from the one lane that they had kept over to this new inner lane, and then they started ripping up the original two lanes of asphalt and concrete used to carry all of this traffic. When we note that construction is one thing we've noted is that construction is time-consuming, So right now, they're redoing the eastbound M59 in Oakland County, but in doing so, they're taking some time to also replace concrete drainage or sewer pipes with new concrete pipes. I did a little research, then I learned that if these concrete pipes are correctly placed in the ground, they can be expected to last 100 years. That's a 100 years. Longer than most of us will live. And when it's finished, it will be part of a firm foundation that is set in place for the future lives of others. And if it's put in correctly, it will create a cleaner environment in which people can live and grow without the fear of succumbing to illness or disease from living in squalor, which I don't believe we really understand as United States citizens. And we note that if the construction is done right, it benefits us. If the construction is done right, it benefits us and it will benefit others. In fact, various forms of construction take people who have experience doing construction or doing these projects. Remember, you don't want to hire a company to do this kind of work who's never done it before. You want someone with experience saying, I hope they can figure it out as they're doing it for the first time. You wouldn't want that. No, you hire people who have been around the proverbial block a time or two, who have a good experience so the job will turn out right. Because who wants to tear up a road or concrete pipes just a few years later because it wasn't done properly to begin with? In fact, you want someone to lead this kind of big and important construction, you want an expert who knows what they're doing. Can you imagine a road being finished and potholes having to be filled a year later because the road wasn't constructed properly? We note that good construction is always done by experts. And the Bible really is a story of construction. God creating or constructing a perfect world for His greatest creation, you and I, to live in. And yet, in time, a pothole of enormous size, sin, entered the world. And God had to close off the Garden of Eden and begin, in a sense, to help reconstruct the once perfect relationship with his people again. God first used the law, which would help people to learn what it meant to live holy lives, how to put their lives together so that they would be pleasing to God. Yet even then, the law showed people that they would fall short of God's holiness, which was God's deepest desire for us. People would turn to false idols, forget God, and not worship God for all that God had done with them and for them. And even if they remembered God, they would murder, steal, lie, not honor parents, lust, covet that which wasn't theirs. And when the law wasn't enough to help people become more holy, God sent down to people an expert who could help them reconstruct or renew their lives with God. Reconstruct them so that they would not forget about God, but honor and worship and love and serve God. So that they would share their journey to know, love, and serve God with others. God sent Jesus as an expert to help people renew their relationship with God. And what's cool about this expert is that he spent time with others to help them and to then help others reconstruct their lives with God too, helping them to become more holy, more honoring to God, and helping them in turn to love God and to love all other people around them. But the problem was this. Jesus was only here for a short time, 3 years. Jesus told the disciples to remain in me and I will remain in you, and then he dies on the cross. Right. Remain in you. And then Jesus rises from the dead and spends some more time with them. All right, Jesus. Then he says in verse 5 today, of today's scripture, read it with me. Now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. Yes, they're upset because their most powerful and successful general contractor, builder of all things, is leaving them. And they don't feel quite equipped to finish the project he started on their own merits. Remain in you. You're going away. Right. But Jesus is like, read it with me. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. All right, Jesus, another subcontractor. Who's the advocate? I know that. The advocate, one who will fight on our behalf, is the Holy Spirit who resides in our hearts. God in us. And we note that God sent the Holy Spirit as an expert to help people rebuild their relationship to God or with God. And today we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit as one who will fight for us, help us to stand, help us to become all we were meant to be, to rebuild our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to the Christian is like math to the engineer, is like a constant beat to the band member. Without math, engineering would be nearly impossible. Without a solid, steady rhythm, bands would be hard-pressed to play anything that people would want to listen to. And we note that the Holy Spirit is essential if you are going to go anywhere with God. Jesus, who as a human could only be in one place at one time. So Jesus gives way to the Holy Spirit, who can enter into each human heart all at one time. This is God. I don't know how he does it, but he does. The Holy Spirit is active in each person as their general contractor, overseeing their construction, knowing exactly what needs to happen and when it needs to happen, so that they can grow in their personal relationship with God. Sometimes that means the Holy Spirit or our general contractor has to break up old habits, old pathways that we were following, and replace those old ways with new ways, so that we can grow closer to Jesus, so that we can be led to do what Jesus wants to do in and through us. And we know we are constantly under construction, the overseer being the Holy Spirit. We never grow out. We never grow out of needing some changes in our lives. How we know and understand more God fully is a continual process. How to give to God from what God has given us, we have to learn more and more to let go of what we have, whether it be our abilities, our finances, or our time. How to even be a witness, we have to let go of the things that hold us back so that we can do these things more to please God. How we love God and how we love our neighbors. It's funny in a way how we feel we can chart our own path with God, yet too often, apart from the Holy Spirit, as though we need no one to guide us. Too many Christians fall prey to the belief that all they need to do is believe in Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to lie dormant in our hearts. You can't go to a construction site without there being somebody there who is in charge so that the work gets done and so that the work gets done properly. Jesus leaves so the Holy Spirit will come and engage each of us. The general contractor has come and is taking charge if we let Him. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, read the rest with me, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is to actively guide us into all that is true. If an engineer doesn't use math, how can they build? If a musician can't keep rhythm, how can music be melodic to the ear? If a Christian isn't actively engaged with the Holy Spirit of God, really wanting to know more of God, God's truth, then how can they become more holy? More like Jesus. When I look at a construction site, I realize I too am a construction site for God. God tears away the old broken parts of me and helps to build new and effective parts in and through me. We have to know, read this with me, to never ever from God depart requires an active Holy Spirit in your heart. You have to engage the Holy Spirit. You have to be willing to follow the Holy Spirit. You have to be willing to change as the Holy Spirit directs you, even when it seems hard. Because the Holy Spirit is going to bring joy into your life if you follow His leading. A little while ago, a medieval chess piece, one of five that has been missing for nearly two centuries, was found in a drawer in Edinburgh. Now, the grumpy-faced, sword-wielding chessman, otherwise known as Lewis Warder, will be auctioned off for up to $1.3 million in July. The Warder, which translates to a rook in chess, is part of a famous group of four medieval chess sets that were discovered in 1831 on the Isle of Lewis, just outside of Scotland. The pieces were likely crafted, most of them from walrus ivory, sometime between the 12th and 13th centuries in Norway. The leading theory for the provenance is that they belonged to a trader in chess pieces at the time before being lost during a shipwreck. And it's unclear how these chess sets were discovered in the 19th century, though some tales point to a wandering grazing cow that happened upon them. Others suggest a sailor came ashore clutching a bag of artifacts. Whoever found the pieces also found circular game pieces and a belt buckle, all of which became known as the Lewis Horde. The Lewis Horde. Most of the medieval chess pieces that comprised of the Lewis Horde were found in 1831 on this island of Lewis. But while 82 pieces from the Horde are now displayed in the British Museum and 11 pieces in the National Museum of Scotland, one knight and four warders, rooks, needed to complete these sets. And they have been missing for 200 years. This newly discovered warder was one of the missing pieces and the first one found from the set since their original discovery in 1831. Now, here's the story of Mr. Warder here. In 1964, an antique dealer in Edinburgh bought the missing piece for £5. Recording the purchase in a ledger as an antique walrus tusk warrior chessman. The item was then passed down through his family and sat in a drawer for 55 years, where the antique dealer's daughter would sometimes take it out to admire its uniqueness, according to the statement. The family then, after the dad died, brought the piece to an auction house. Now, this chess piece has inspired many stories and folk tales. It's appeared in J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, and is also appeared or been mentioned in many other books or places. But who knew it was in a drawer? Today, all the chessmen are a pale ivory. You can see them behind this piece. But the new Lewis Warder's dark tone clearly has the potential to offer valuable and fresh insight into how other Lewis chessmen may have looked in the past. Alexander Cater, the worldwide head of European sculpture and works of art, said in a statement, "There is certainly more to the story than this warder still to be told about his life over the last 188 years since he was separated from his fellow chessmen, hidden away, only to be discovered in a drawer." For us today, we know we're under construction, and yet hidden in each of us, sometimes we put the Holy Spirit in a drawer, and we don't let the Holy Spirit have room to operate in our lives, to lead us into God's truth. As we read the Bible, do we ask the Holy Spirit to come and to direct our thoughts? Do we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us more of God? Do we ask the Holy Spirit to still our hearts so that we would know God? We have this missing piece of God in a drawer in our hearts somewhere, this priceless God. And all you have to do is open the drawer and say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come. Build in me to be like Jesus. Build in me to be more holy, to be more pleasing to you. To never ever from God depart requires an active Holy Spirit in your heart. Imagine living a life where each day is an adventure with God to be fully lived into. Imagine looking forward each morning to spending time meeting with and talking with God and He with you. Imagine growing in your relationship with God as the Holy Spirit remolds and remakes your attitude, your priorities to be a lover of God and a lover of people. Imagine giving all you have to God and God rewarding you for what you do for the kingdom of God. Imagine because of the construction that is now taking place in you, the beautiful road or path that God is laying before you, walking that road, walking that path. But only you can take the Holy Spirit out. Only you can allow the Holy Spirit to have more of you. So for this week, what I want you to do is I want you to invite the Holy Spirit every morning to come and fill you to overflowing with His presence. That's one of the challenges. Every morning, come Holy Spirit and fill me to overflowing with Your presence. And then to invite the Holy Spirit to direct your day. To direct your day. Holy Spirit, what do I need to do today? Or even as you're coming to decisions during your day, how would I best need to handle this, Holy Spirit? Whether it's math or music, whether it's caring for others or being retired, God is in you. The Holy Spirit has come. Don't leave it in the drawer for another day. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful that You continue to lead and direct our days and ask that as You are glorified by our lives, Lord, that You would be lifted high. And Holy Spirit, come. Have Your way in us right now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,